All right, listen, we've been going through a series called The Me I Want to Be, and I wanted to recap just a little bit, just in case you haven't been here. I wanted to recap exactly where we have been and where we are headed. The first thing we talked about in this series is we identified the counterfeit versions of us, and who is the me I want to be? Well, the me I want to be is exactly who God had in mind when he created you. That's who the me I want to be is. Exactly who God had in mind when he created you and he created me. Because when you create something and it functions the way it was created to function, then good things happen, life flows, things are right. That's why we want to do this. And so it is the me I want to be is exactly who God had in mind when he created you. But a lot of times we have counterfeit versions of ourselves. Those counterfeit versions may be the me I think I need to be, or the me I think everyone else thinks I need to be. And here's the truth of the matter. It doesn't matter who someone else thinks you need to be, and it doesn't matter who you think you need to be. The truth of the matter is that who God wants you to be is the way you will function fully and live a life that is full, not only here, but for eternity. But for eternity. The second thing is this. You have to decide if God has your best interest at heart, because why would you go on a journey with God if he doesn't have your best interest at heart? And we went through a message that said, hey, and you can get every one of these, by the way, online if you want to go online to our website. Why would I do that? When we looked at that, we asked the question, does God have our best interest at heart? And we decided, yeah, you know what? He does have our best interest at heart. And so then I said, you have to, if you're going to go on this journey, you have to embrace Holy Spirit. You have to literally get off the side. Stop, get out, off of the, you know, one of the things I love doing is fishing, and I never have understood this, but when you fish, when you're standing on the bank, the best fish are all the way out in the middle of the water. But when you're in the water, the best fish are always closest to the bank, and I don't get all that, but when you're standing on the bank, all right, you want to get out into the middle, and out into the middle of the flow. And I talked to you guys about going tubing during this message, and I said, you know, you get over to the side and you get stuck, but you got a stick and it pushes you out into the middle of the flow. We have to get in the middle of the flow of what Holy Spirit. Let me say this to you. God is at work around you. He is. Whether you identify that or not, that's up to you. But God is at work around you, and you have to embrace the flow of what Holy Spirit is doing around you. The next thing we talked about is renewing your mind, how the battlefield is in the mind. And so once you embrace the flow of Holy Spirit, once you realize God has your best interest at heart, once you've identified those counterfeit versions, you renew your mind, because that's where the battlefield is. And then the next thing we talked about last week was the God-shaped hole, how we realize and we need to realize that there is a hole that is left within us when we are not saved, when we are not fully following who Jesus wants us to be. There's a hole within us, and that hole can't be filled with success or money or cars or alcohol or food or drugs. That hole can only be filled with God himself. And so today I want to go on and I want to talk to you about the next step. And here it is. I want to talk to you about being in intentional. I want to talk to you about being intentional. Here's the truth. We have to be intentional about our walk with God. We have to be intentional about our walk with God. I want to tell you something. Your walk with God isn't just going to happen. It's not. Any more than you finishing high school is just going to happen. Or you graduating college is just going to happen. Or you finding a job is just going to happen. I'll never forget when Wendy was looking for her first quote-unquote professional job. We were in Nashville, and she was very frustrated. And I just looked at her and I said, listen, think of it like this. Your job, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, is to look for a job. That's your job. So get up. Don't lay in the bed. Get up. You know what I mean? Make me some breakfast. I'm just kidding. She didn't do that. Get up. Get dressed. And get your resumes and start doing that. That's your job. Why? Well, because in order to find a job, you have to be intentional about it. You have to be intentional about it. In order to graduate high school, you have to be intentional about it. In order to graduate college, you have to be intentional about it. I'll assure you, if you go off to college, and from some of our seniors, listen to this, if you go off to college and you just go and say, hey, listen, I think I'm going to graduate from this place, this college, and you just hang out and don't go to class and don't do your homework, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be back home with mommy and daddy, and you're going to be in debt. That's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. You have to be intentional about it. The same thing is true for your walk with God. You have to be intentional about your walk with God. Now, here's the definition of being intentional, and I wish I would have put this up there. I don't think I did. I wish I would have put this in the notes. Here's the definition. Something done with purpose and with a goal in mind. Write that down. Being intentional is something done with purpose and with a goal in mind. Once again, something done with a purpose and with a goal in mind. So what do you need to be intentional? You need a purpose and you need a goal. Those two things are needed for you to be intentional about anything in your life. How many people like going to IKEA? How many people like going to the cinnamon rolls at IKEA? Yeah, I know, right? So, my family likes going to IKEA. It's down in Atlanta, and we go, and we go underneath the little parking area and park, and we go into IKEA. And you go into IKEA, and here's what happens. They say, hey, here's the way, and there's an arrow pointing, and you get one of these cool carts that go every direction, which is the coolest cart. I don't know why every cart doesn't do that. I don't know, but it should. I don't know how Walmart people would deal with the cart, though. You know, if it goes every direction, but IKEA people can deal with it, man. They're walking through, they've got this, and the cart goes every direction, and they follow, you literally get on a path. And can I tell you something? For guys, it's like a haunted house, because there's no going back, man. Every once in a while, behind a fake, like a ficus tree, they'll hide like exit here. And there's, but it's covered. You can't see it. And so you're going through the maze, of, okay? And it, they have all of these awesome deals, like a couch, and then, you know, and it's amazing because they show these little bitty tiny apartments, and they're like, hey, this is only 30 square feet. And they've got a bed and a couch, and I mean, they got everything. It's all stacked on top of each other. But they, every once in a while, you'll find some really good deals on some good furniture and those kind of things. And so we saw a dresser there, and I'm like, wow, that thing's nice. Too bad we can't buy it because it won't fit in our vehicle. Oh, no, it'll fit in your vehicle. Because the dresser, this huge 6-foot-long dresser, the box is about this big, all right? I'm not kidding you, it is. It's so small. The box is so small. And it weighs 4,000 pounds, but I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And what you do is, they do like, you write it down. You write down where the location of it was. It's like, you guys remember going to, anybody in here now, I'm gonna date myself. Does anybody remember going to Service Merchandise? So for those little whippersnappers that don't know what Service Merchandise is, you would go through and see the things, and they gave you, it was really high tech, they would give you a piece of paper and a golfing pencil, okay? It's a card and a golfing pencil, and you would write down what you want, and you would pay for it and hand it to the lady, and there was a conveyor belt that literally went for 4 miles, and you would stand there, and you would wait for your junk to come off the thing, and they would hand it to you. Well, that's how kind of they do it at IKEA, except they give these long things that also go different directions. They give you these long things, and so you go and look at the aisle. Okay, B41, and you go all the way up, and that's where you unload and you get your stuff, but you write it down. But you see the display as you're going through the haunted house. That's what happens. So here's the thing. We bought a dresser and a desk for my daughter. And we came home, and I got the directions because I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. So here's what I said. I said, hey, I'm closing the door to the bonus room. No one's allowed in. And I took that sucker, and I moved all the furniture, and I laid every screw, every little thing, all of it out. There was 9 million pieces to this thing. It was. But I took that sucker, and I started checking them off one by one. Okay, do this, and then do this. And I was intentionally going step by step by step by step. And 13 hours later, there was a dresser. It was awesome. But what did I have to do? See, my first gut as a guy is to do this. Okay, I got this. Let's see how this thing works. Get all these things out and just start putting stuff together. That's my first thing as a guy. But you can't do that if you shop at IKEA. Because the directions are your friend. They are. They're your friend. I found something that's interesting. Wendy went on a trip. I forget, it was like maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And I was by myself at home without any food, lonely. And I had to go to church that morning. And I was like, well, I washed all the clothes and I dried them and nothing shrunk up, thank God. But my shirts were all wrinkled. And it just so happens that I don't know how to iron anything. And I was standing there going, okay, I've got 30 minutes to get to church. And this shirt looks like the California raisin. What am I going to do? So I got on YouTube. God is my witness. I took my phone, got on YouTube, and this lady goes, hey, I'm so glad you're here. Today, we're going to learn how to iron a shirt. And I was like, all right, Sally, let me have it. Let's do it. So I sit there for 20 minutes, and I hit pause, and I would iron. And then I'd hit it. And then I would flip it over and turn it here. I didn't know this. Do you guys know that the ironing board is not shaped that way just because? It's shaped that way because that's how the clothes are. I have no clue. Had no clue. And I didn't realize this either. Every guy's shirt has this little thing right here. Right there. You can iron that too. I had no clue. For 25 minutes, I watched a YouTube video. And I went into church styling and profiling. Do you know why I was styling and profiling? I'll tell you why. Because I did something intentional. Intentional. You have to be intentional. Just like following those directions. And it's interesting because now I actually enjoy putting something together now. I do. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm like, all right. And I don't know why I do this, but I kick everybody out. Like somebody's going to get in the way. Nope, everybody out. And I take that thing and I put the directions there and I'm like, step one. And I'll take a little drink of Coke or something and I'll go, all right, let me see here. All right, I got that. Step two. And here's the thing that always amazes me. Nothing ever makes any sense. And I'm like, why would they do it that way? And then I like go, oh, I see. And I turn it over the right way and oh, that's how it goes in. If I'm not intentional though, it's not going to happen. See, if it's not intentional, everything's not going to come together and be used for what it was meant to be used for. If it's not intentional, there's not going to be a dresser and there's not going to be a desk. And if it's not intentional in your life, there's not going to be a deep walk with Christ. There's just not. There's just not. You have to be intentional. Here's what Proverbs 21:5 says. Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning, listen to this, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Proverbs 12:24 also says this. You work hard and you become a leader. But be lazy and you become a slave. A slave to what? In our life, a slave to debt, a slave to depression, a slave to, and on and on and on and on. A slave to a job you hate, a slave to, I could go on and on and on and on. What's the Bible saying here? You know what it's saying? It's saying this: get a plan, be intentional, and work at it as if your life depends on it. Because your life depends on it. The quality of your life depends on it. The value of your life depends on it. But see, what a lot of us want to do is we want life just to come to us. We want life just to come to us. And can I tell you guys something? If you do the same thing you've always done, you're going to get the same thing you've always gotten. Life just doesn't come to you. Imagine if Jesus were to have said, you know what? I know I'm here. I'm here to do this whole, you know, teach for 3 years, plant this church stuff for 3 years. I think I'm just going to stay where I am. I think I'm just going to let everything come to me. There's not going to be a plan. There's not going to be a purpose. There's not going to be anything. I think there's not going to be a goal. I think I'm just going to meander through. Can I tell you guys something? Meandering through gets you stuck right where you are. It does. It gets you stuck right where you are. And that's not just true in your spiritual life. That's true in your emotional life. That's true in your marriage. That's true in your relationships. That's true in your job. It's true in life in general. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of people don't want to do the work that it takes to be intentional. Because intentionality doesn't give you the results immediately that you're always looking for. It deepens you, and it teaches you, and it grows you. That's what Christ needs. He doesn't need someone who's looking for a quick fix. He needs someone that's going to go the distance. He needs someone that's going to have a purpose and a goal. Because when the goal gets too difficult, listen to this, when the goal gets too difficult, it's the purpose that you fall back on. The reason why is what you fall back on. And when you understand and you have a depth of purpose, then the goal that you have becomes a lot easier, because the purpose outweighs quitting. The purpose outweighs not changing. The purpose out, that's what happens. It's the purpose. And the goal is the avenue to get there. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20 says this. In my Bible, it says, living by the Spirit's power. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And here it is. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And here's verse 17. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And I want to tell you guys something. It's not a coincidence that verse 18, it starts with this. It's not a coincidence. Don't act thoughtlessly. Don't act thoughtlessly. Don't live unwise. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, that will ruin your life. You know what that wine represents? Don't take the easy way out. How many people have ever come home from work and was like, you know what? All I want to do is grab the biggest pizza here, put on my PJs, and watch Netflix for 17 hours and do nothing. Now, let me say something. That's okay to do every once in a while. It really is. But if you entertain that over and over and over and over and over again, your life will eventually come to ruin. It will. If you always turn to that which brings you immediate comfort, your life will become ruined. If you always turn to that, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Is there anything wrong with having a glass of wine? No, there's not. But when you drink it to the point of literally ignoring what God's command is, don't be drunk with wine. Because when you are, it will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's what the rest of the verse says. It says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and make music to the Lord in your hearts and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing because it says those verses in verses 15 through 20. And then it goes right into, and we're not going to cover it, but it goes right into, and further, submit to one another out of Christ. And it starts talking about husbands and wives and relationships. It starts talking about all these various things. What is he saying? What's Paul saying here to the Ephesians? I'll tell you what he's saying. Be intentional about how you live your life. And don't always try to take the easy way out. Have a purpose and have a goal in everything you do, including your spiritual walk. So what does being intentional look like? Well, I could go over 50 things here with you about what being intentional in your walk looks like. I chose three. I chose three things to let you know because I don't want you to be here until 4 in the afternoon, and you don't want to be here either. So here's the situation. I chose three things that I thought were the most important of being intentional in your life, in your spiritual life. Here's the first thing. Protect your personal integrity. Protect your personal integrity. Protect your personal integrity. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Philippians chapter 2, let me turn over to it, verses 14 and 15. Says this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that no one can criticize you. And I love this. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. And you have to do this intentionally. Your natural state is to not do this. Your sinful nature will not allow you to do this. You have to be intentional about keeping your personal integrity. You have to be intentional about living a life as innocent children of God. You have to be intentional about this. Billy Graham told the story in one of his books. He said, I was on an airplane. And I was young. I was a young pastor on an airplane. And my team was with me. And we had sat on a commercial flight. And we were on the airplane, and a stewardess got really excited that I was on the plane. He said she was a strong believer, and she was really excited about seeing me on the plane. And he said, so she, in her excitement, as I was sat in my seat, sat down on my lap for a picture. And he said, immediately I was mortified and jumped straight up. And immediately apologized to the lady in her excitement. But I knew the last thing I needed is for another female who's not my wife to be sitting on my lap. And from that day forward, don't know if you know this or not, but from that day forward until the day he died, he only traveled with men. He never, when he was on the plane, there was only male employees. He only traveled with men. Everything that he did was only with men. When he rode in a car, it was with men. When he went to conferences, it was with men. He surrounded himself because he wanted to be what? He wanted to be above reproach. And that's the same attitude that we should take. That's the same attitude that you should take. Be intentional about your personal integrity. Be above reproach. Let me give you some examples. That means that when you're given too much money at a store, you give it back. That's what that means. When you're given too much change, you give it back. If you've never worked in retail, let me tell you how this works. So-and-so gives you too much money. She gives you a 20 extra. Now, so-and-so who's working the cash register is probably working for minimum wage. Let me just let you know, when she was dreaming as a little child, her goal was probably not to work the cash register at Walmart. That was probably not in her mind. So she's doing everything she can do to make a living and to make a life. And when she gives you back too much money and you take it and you go with it, at the end of the shift, she has to provide that money. She has to take it out of her pocket and make up the difference. That's how that works in retail. So when you're given too much money, you alert someone and you give it back. This one's going to hurt people's feelings. If you buy something from Amazon and you just didn't like it, don't lie about why you're returning it so that you can get free shipping back. Is it really worth a $4 shipping to ruin your integrity? And you may be thinking, oh, Pastor Barry, you're just being nitpicky. I understand that, but can I tell you something? If God can't trust you with the little things, He's not going to trust you with the huge things. He's not. He's not. You will rise or fall to the level of your personal integrity. When you borrow money from someone, you pay it back. You do. When you borrow money from someone, you pay it back. I have a spiritual gift here of being here at the church and not having money for, Lynn, do I owe you some money? Because if I do, I'll pay it back. He just whispered over to Brandon something. I don't know what y'all are talking about back there. But let me tell you something, brother. We'll meet in the back and I'll give you whatever. When do you got your checkbook? I'll write it. It may bounce, but I'll write it. I promise. I'm just kidding, Lynn. No, listen. I have the spiritual gift of coming up to the church here. And, you know, they have a school during the week. And they always have stuff at the cafeteria. And I have the spiritual gift of not having any cash on me ever. Ever. And so I was over there and I was like, gosh, man. And I was looking poor mouth because I didn't want to go out. You know, when you're at work, you just don't want to leave. You're like, you know, I just really don't want to get out. It was raining. And so I borrowed $5 from someone. And can I tell you something? I know this sounds crazy. That bothered me and bothered me and bothered me until I literally went and I got cash back and I put it in the envelope the next day. And the person was like, why did you do that? You don't have to give. No. I want to do that. I want to do that. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. I've learned something. If God can trust you with the small things, He will trust you with the big things. Can I tell you how many people that I have seen allow money ruin their integrity? Can I tell you? Let me give you guys some advice here. You don't have to chase after money. I want you to hear that. You don't have to chase after money. You don't have to do that. You don't have to bring it all tight and you don't have to do any of that. None of it. You trust God and He'll provide for you. He will. He'll provide for you. Now, let me say something. He's not going to provide for you if you said, I'm going to trust God and quit my job and sit at home and watch, you know, I used to be Oprah. I don't know even who knows who's on now on during the day. I'm going to sit home and do that. No, that's not going to happen. Or you know what? I think I'm going to quit my job and just play golf during the day. Now, he's not going to do that. You know why? Because you're not being intentional about doing what you're supposed to do. That's why. You're not being intentional. One of the things that Lynn and I are opposites. We are. We're the odd couple. All right? We are. We're just the odd couple. We're opposites. And God has used that so much to get on my nerves. All right? And more to get on His nerves. It's really funny. But we're the opposite. We really are. But I'll tell you something. There's one thing that we 1,000% agree on. 1,000%. We will 1,000% do anything we have to do with 1,000% integrity. Period. And we don't even discuss it. We will go past the expectation. We will go past what people expect of us because we want to be 1,000% above reproach. Why? Why are we like that? Let me tell you why we're like that. We're like that because He and I have found out something that maybe you haven't found out, and it's this. Not only do you have to have a relationship with your husband or wife, not only do you have to have a relationship with people that are around you, here's the kicker. You have to have a relationship with yourself. You do. And I know maybe you never thought of that, but you have to have a relationship with yourself. And you're the one that has to look in that mirror every day. And you know deep down if you're living your life with integrity. You know deep down if you're doing the right thing. You know deep down that inner peace that you have from living that life of integrity. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. The second thing is this. Be intentionally specific, not generic. Be intentionally specific, not generic. What does intentionality mean? Purpose and a goal. Purpose and a goal. Purpose and a goal. Christ died universally for all of us if we choose to accept the gift. Are you with me? Everyone's not going to accept that gift, though. They're not. Some people are going to go their own way. They don't want to submit, and that's their choice. But when Christ came down, the scripture says that he died once for all, is what he says. Once for all. And it's those who accept that gift. But I want you to know something. You were not created generically. You weren't. If you were, we would all look alike and act alike and talk alike and everything else. You were not created generically. You were created specifically. And so in your intentionality, you have to be specific. Here's some examples. In the morning, specifically say, God, today I will release my life to you today. Today I'm going to release my life to you. I have no idea what's coming, but all I know, God, is that you're in control. Purpose? Why? What's the purpose? So that you can grow in your faith. Goal? Releasing your life to him on a daily basis. It's specific. It's not general. It's not generic. It's not, you know what, I just want to be a good Christian. Well, can I tell you something? You can want that, but until you're intentional about it, you're not taking one step forward. Purpose? Goal. Purpose? Goal. I will connect with God and his word at least 5 days a week. Is there anything magical about 5 days a week? No. Nothing at all. There's nothing magical about that at all. I'm just giving you an example. Purpose and goal. I will place my family over my work. Okay? I will place my family over my work. It's interesting. Before he created the church and before he created jobs, and before he created an income, you know what God created? The family. The family. And God said, I'm going to use this family to redeem the world. I'm going to use the structure of the family to redeem the world. That's why, listen, that's why when the enemy attacks, he's always going to attack the family first. The family first. That's who he's going to attack. So, I will place my life over, my family over my work. Be intentional. I don't know what God has called you to do, but it needs to begin with, I will, and then be intentional and do your part. And that's when God can do his part. Because I want to tell you something, the results come after action, not after inaction. The results come after action and not after inaction. And I want to close with this. I want to close with this third thing. And I've told you guys this a gazillion times. If you don't know anything else about what we're doing here, I want you to hear this. Progress, not perfection. Hear it again. Progress, not perfection. I want you to hear something. Perfectionism kills progress. Hear that. Being perfectionistic about your life kills progress. You do what you can do, and I'm talking about intentionally. You know the level that you can do. You do all you can do, and then the space between the goal and where you are, you do all you can do, and God will fill in that gap. Grace will fill in that gap. Mercy will fill in that gap. That's what God will do for you. That's exactly what he'll do for you. We have to be intentional, and we have to remember that it's progress, not perfection. I'm reading a book right now, and it's an awesome book. It's by a guy that his name is the Iron Cowboy, and he it sounds like a guy that would sing with a guitar in New York in his underwear, doesn't it? The Iron Cowboy, but he's not. He's not that guy. I don't know what that guy's name is. The Naked Cowboy is his name. Thank you, Samantha. No idea how Samantha knows that. I guess UGA is teaching her a lot. Anyway, but so listen. So the Iron Cowboy, this guy did, I think the book is called Redefining Impossible. This guy did 50 triathlons. Okay, that is a 120-mile bike ride, that is a 2.2-mile swim, and that is a marathon. He did 50 triathlons in 50 days in 50 states. That's what he did, okay? And here's what he said. I was like, man, how in the world did he do this? Not that I'm doing it. I'm not doing it, you guys, okay? I can't even spell triathlon, much less start one. I can't do it. So, you know, the book's called Redefining Impossible. I've defined impossible by saying I can't do that. Okay, I'm not doing it. But here's the thing he said, and I want you to hear this. He said, he was asked by a reporter, what is the pivotal point? What is the best, like what's the most important thing? He said the most important thing was this, deciding to show up. That's the most important thing. Just deciding to show up. Just deciding to show up. Deciding to, you know, one of the things I've had to learn is this. I have to learn to decide to show up in my life. I have to learn that the warmth of that bed isn't worth me not being healthy. So get up and get going with the day. I have to learn that the shortcut of not keeping my integrity is not worth me looking in the mirror and knowing that I didn't do my best. All God's asking you to do is to show up. Show up with a purpose and a goal and let God do the rest. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you so much for the meat and potatoes message, God, that you gave to me this week. It's so it was so amazing how your word, even though it was written thousands of years ago, your word is still so relevant today. It's crystal clear today. And so, God, I pray that we as people, will understand that we have to be intentional. Be intentional about our walk with you. And we have to decide the purpose and the goal. My prayer is that we would invite people to come and to experience this with us. My prayer is that we would open our hearts up to invite you in, God, to define our purpose and our goal. And as we do that, God, I pray that you would literally open up the blessing on our people. I pray that you would let them start seeing the progress, not perfection, but the progress that happens and the change that occurs. And more than anything, God, let them know that it's the process and not the end result that matters the most. It's the journey where we're taught and not the destination. Let us embrace what you're doing in our lives and let us worship you in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand up and let's have a final word of worship.